The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the set of The Right Side. I'm Doug Billings. Hey, President Trump is the leader of the Republican Party, folks. And as such, it's expected that he would chime in and give his opinion, his critiques, and his judgment about who the Speaker of the House should be, who he supports, who he doesn't support, etc. It's normal. Every president has done that. Every leader of the political party system in America has done that. And that support can be based on multiple factors, whether or not the candidate supported President Trump in his run for the presidency, whether or not said candidates are true American conservatives, whether or not said candidates are true Make America Great Again candidates, and so forth and so on. So the radical left, because they fear Trump so much, are having conniption fits that Trump has his fingerprints all over the selection process of the Speaker of the House, which, of course, has a majority of Republicans running it. I like it. I mean, I rather enjoy watching liberals have meltdowns over all of this, about anything for that matter. But folks, this is the way it has always been. The leader of any political party in this country has always had a voice and opinion about who their party elects in various roles. And the way that this process played out, ladies and gentlemen, in the House of the Representatives, the debate and the discussion, that process, it's always been intended to be done within that chamber, just as we've seen it. You have all sorts of people out there, even people on our own side who just don't understand the process. They're clamoring about chaos. Doug, this is terrible. The House of Representatives is in chaos. They've got to get their act together. How embarrassing. And now that we can look back with the advantage of some degree of hindsight, ladies and gentlemen, I want to gently remind those people on the conservative side, especially, that all is well. All is well, folks. This is played out by design, put forth by the founders, and it's been allowed to voice the American people's voices. We've seen the American voice, the people's voice, rise up. And the House of Representatives, in that chamber especially, is where we see the voices of the American people. And to the untrained eye, it can look chaotic and it can look crazy, but it's not. There's a purpose and the reason behind the passion and the debate that you see. It was a good thing that the speakership of Kevin McCarthy was vacated. It was a good thing that eight brave America First MAGA conservatives came forth to make that happen. It was a good thing that there was a robust debate, lots of discussion, and multiple candidates to be considered for the speakership. It makes no sense to rush to such an important process. It makes no sense to settle on the first candidate that comes our way. The House of Representatives, my friends, is where more than any other place, the voice of the people is heard amongst the elected class. So what we witnessed over the last several weeks was our voices, sometimes clamoring, sometimes yelling, sometimes begging, sometimes arguing, sometimes conceding, and sometimes compromising. But it was our voice that we witnessed. Now, I want to tell you a few important things about Mike Johnson, just very quickly. First of all, he's the vice chairman of the Republican Conference, and he opposed the certification of the 2020 election. Number two, he's against giving any further aid to Ukraine. Number three, he believes that every human baby has the right to live his or her life. Four, he's aligned strongly with President Trump. And number five, he supports putting restrictions on the immorality of the LGBTQ kook community's attack on children. Let me introduce to you Mike Johnson via a video clip of him speaking in committee. It's a short clip, about 4 minutes long. Take a look.
Thank you for yielding, Ms. Tiffany. Look, I just want to point out, again, what Justice Alito said so well, articulated so well in the Dobbs opinion. He said it is an inescapable conclusion that the right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. On the contrary, he points out an unbroken tradition of prohibiting abortion on pain of criminal punishment persisted from the earliest days of the common law until Roe in 1973. The fact is that prior to Roe, our laws in this country did respect and protect the sanctity of human life, and the reason is why. It goes back to our nation's birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence. And this can't be said too often because it is a simple and profound and important truth because it helps define who we are as a country. In our nation's birth certificate, the famous language in the second paragraph is that we hold these truths to be self-evident. It's a self-evident truth that all men are created equal, not born equal, but created equal by God, by our Creator, and that He is the one that gives us our inalienable rights, and among these, the rights to life, obviously. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness, life is listed first. Listen, the founders, the ones who put this country together, recognized that life was sacred because it is given to us by our Creator, by God. And they recognize that we are indeed made in that Creator's image. We're made in God's image. And because of that, every single human person has inestimable dignity and value. And your value is not related in any way to the color of your skin or where you went to school, what zip code you live in, what you do for a living, how good looking you are. None of that is relevant. Your value is inherent because it is given to you by your Creator. He's the one that gives us our rights. That first right is the right to life. If you don't have the right to life, you can't pursue liberty. You can't pursue happiness. You can't exercise your freedom if you're not here. And so it's a simple, self-evident truth that the country was built upon. And that's why our nation and its laws respected this under our constitutional tradition until Roe was hoisted upon the people by a majority of the court. Finally, that egregious error has been overturned. And by the way, no one said it yet, but about 63 million American children were aborted since 1973, January 22nd of 1973, when Roe became the law of the land. It's a profound tragedy. It has impacts on all aspects of public policy and everything about our culture and all that we know. I mean, we have an aging population here. We don't have able-bodied workers, enough of them in the economy to support our programs, Social Security and Medicare, for example. They're all scheduled to go bankrupt in less than 10 years, some of them. Why? Because we don't have enough people paying into the system to support those programs. And why is that? Because 63 million of them were aborted. They're not here. I was born in January of 1972, almost exactly 1 year before Roe v. Wade, and it has dawned on me many times that that number, 63 million, represents somewhere between one-half and one-third of my entire generation. So my high school graduating class probably should have been at least a third larger than it was, maybe more. But my colleagues weren't there. My friends weren't there. My classmates weren't there. The ranking member, Mr. Nadler, said just a few moments ago, he gave us a long explanation about how, you know, hey, it's murder to kill a baby, and that's why originally, many years ago, he supported the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, but he does not believe that it's murder to kill that baby if it's 9 inches further up the birth canal. You know, prior to its birth, a late-term abortion, they're okay with that. I mean, almost every Democrat in the House currently voted for those kinds of policies to allow for abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. You have to not let that fact escape you. You have to look at the record of what has been voted on in this House in the last couple of years and recognize that they're on record. So as Mr. Roy, my good friend, said earlier, it is really simple. At the end of the day, we'll haggle about the rules here. We'll haggle about nuances in language in these policies, et cetera. But at the end of the day, there's an inescapable conclusion. One side in this country supports and defends and respects and wants to protect the sanctity of human life, and the other side simply doesn't. And that is something that is hard to get over.
So rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, that we've seen a brilliant system of debate, discussion, passion, compromise, and nomination. And we've seen it work just as intended by our founders. We've seen it work. And the result that we have now is that a true American conservative and Make America Great Again nominee for the United States Speaker of the House has risen through that process. It's not chaos. It's not discombobulation. It's not embarrassing. It's exactly how it should be. Believe it, ladies and gentlemen, for the Republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is made possible by the Spreely Network. It is the network, Spreely, for free thought and free people. I want you to go to your app store and download their Freedom Hub. Do it today, ladies and gentlemen. It's much too important. We depend on you. Freedom is waiting. The Freedom Hub from Spreely. Believe it. For the Republic. Cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, your voices have been heard, and that's exactly what you have been watching in the House of Representatives. It has not been unfettered chaos and embarrassment like members of the legacy media would try to convince you, or members of the Rhino establishment military-industrial complex were bemoaning. We have now, because of the process instilled by our founding fathers, a true America First, Make America Great Again speaker, someone who will stop the endless war funding, who will say that America's borders and America's safety has got to be first. Your voices have been heard. All of this because the right side with Doug Billings is now upon you. Are you ready? Let's go.
Hey, everybody. My name is General Mike Flynn, and I'm here to do a big shout out for my great friend and one of the best in the business, Mr. Doug Billings. Right side with Doug Billings, right side with Doug Billings. Doug is the future of the airwaves when it comes to independent broadcasters and podcasters. He is the new Rush Limbaugh. He's exactly what America needs right now, looking for honesty, looking for wisdom, looking for truth, looking for patriotism. Listen to Doug Billings at Right Side with Doug Billings. God bless you and God bless America, and thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are winning. We're winning, winning, winning. Welcome to the Right Side with Doug Billings. Are you ready?
We are not liberal snowflakes who melt away in the face of tragedy, adversity, and challenge. We are a covenant nation under God, and His divine providence is not dead and it's not gone. It is living within each and every one of you, and you will bring it to life in such a way that the world has never seen before. We never back down. We never give up. We march forward.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Right Side with Doug Billings. Thanks for joining us from around the planet. I appreciate you. Wow. Denmark, the Netherlands, England, France, Germany, New Zealand, and Australia. Thank you. You saw the show we did about how New Zealand and Australia, Germany, are rallying against the trend of liberalism in the world. And so we thank you for watching the show. Thanks for the emails. We appreciate you. Coming to you, ladies and gentlemen, from smack dab in the middle of the fruited plain of the United States of America between the two shining sea shores. Reminding you folks, President Trump is the de facto leader of the Republican Party. And as such, it's expected that he would chime in and give his opinions about who should be the Speaker of the House. And he's done so. Who he supports, who he doesn't support. And that support can be based on multiple factors, right? Whether or not the candidate supported President Trump, whether or not they wanted to impeach him back when that all was going on, and whether or not said candidates are really, truly conservative, America First, Make America Great Again, conservative politicians. So President Trump's support can be based on those and many other factors, all at his discretion. And the radical left, because they fear Trump so much, they're having conniption fits that Trump had dared to put his fingertips on his fingerprints all over the selection process of the Speaker of the House. How dare he interfere? It's dangerous for our democracy. And ladies and gentlemen, always remember when they say that, we are not a democracy. The radical left says that on purpose. But I enjoy it. I love it. I love watching liberal heads explode in the meltdowns that they have as a result of all of that. But this has always been the case, folks. The leader of any political party within the United States, when they come into power, has always had a voice and opinions about who that party elects in various roles, Democrat and Republican alike. And the way the process has played out for the Speaker of the House is that it's going on exactly how the debate and the discussion and the compromise and nomination process has been put forth by our founding fathers, exactly like it's been prescribed by them. And yet we have all sorts of people out there, even people on our own side, who don't understand the process really ultimately, because evidence of the obvious is sufficient by the nature and the tone of their response, who've been moaning about the supposed chaos. Ugh, it's chaos. Why can't we get our house in order? Why can't these Republicans get their act together? It's embarrassing. Now, we look back with a certain advantage of hindsight, and I'd like to gently remind those people, the conservatives, they're in panic mode based on what they saw on mainstream TV. All is well, folks. All is well. All of this has played out by design, ladies and gentlemen. The design of the founding fathers, which is to allow the voice of the people to rise up in this house. Above all else, the House of Representatives is where the voice of the people is designed to be heard. Folks, it was a good thing that the speakership of Kevin McCarthy was vacated. It was a good thing that eight brave America First, Make America Great Again conservatives came together to make that happen. It was a good thing that there has been robust debate, intense discussion, a multiple array of candidates from which to choose the speakership role. It makes no sense, folks, to rush such an important process. It makes no sense to settle on just one candidate. We've got to settle on somebody first. Hurry, quick. No. The House of Representatives, again, is where, more than any other place in our system of government, where the voice of the people is heard amongst the members of the elected class. So what we've witnessed over the last several weeks was our voices, our sometimes clamoring voices, sometimes yelling, sometimes begging, sometimes arguing, sometimes conceding, and sometimes compromising, and sometimes nominating. It was our voice that we all saw play out on the television. And the radical left media would try to spin it as chaos, embarrassment, and disarray. And so would the rhinos, the Republicans in name only in the elected class. But we've now had somebody rise to the top, a candidate that many of you who have never heard of, Mike Johnson. So let me tell you a few important things about Mike. He is the chairman, the vice chairman of the Republican Conference, and he's opposed in the past the certification of the 2020 election. So he believes that election integrity might very well be an issue. He's against giving further aid to Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen. He believes that human babies have the right to be born. Imagine that. He's strongly allied with President Trump, and he supports restrictions on the immorality and the politics, the platform, and the purpose of the LGBTQ kook community's attack on children. So let me introduce to you further, by virtue of this clip, Mike Johnson speaking from the chairmanship of the committee. You're going to like this. It's about a 4-minute clip. Here you go. Mike Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for yielding, Ms. Tiffany. Look, I just want to point out, again, what Justice Alito said so well, articulated so well in the Dobbs opinion. He said it is an inescapable conclusion that the right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. On the contrary, he points out an unbroken tradition of prohibiting abortion on pain of criminal punishment persisted from the earliest days of the common law until Roe in 1973. The fact is that prior to Roe, our laws in this country did respect and protect the sanctity of human life, and the reason is why. It goes back to our nation's birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence. And this can't be said too often because it is a simple and profound and important truth because it helps define who we are as a country. In our nation's birth certificate, the famous language in the second paragraph is that we hold these truths to be self-evident. It's a self-evident truth that all men are created equal, not born equal, but created equal by God, by our Creator, and that He is the one that gives us our inalienable rights, and among these, the rights to life, obviously. liberty and the pursuit of happiness, life is listed first. Listen, the founders, the ones who put this country together, recognize that life was sacred because it is given to us by our Creator, by God. And they recognize that we are indeed made in that Creator's image. We're made in God's image. And because of that, every single human person has inestimable dignity and value. And your value is not related in any way to the color of your skin or where you went to school, what zip code you live in, what you do for a living, how good looking you are. None of that is relevant. Your value is inherent because it is given to you by your Creator. He's the one that gives us our rights. That first right is the right to life. If you don't have the right to life, you can't pursue liberty. You can't pursue happiness. You can't exercise your freedom if you're not here. And so it's a simple, self-evident truth that the country was built upon. And that's why our nation and its laws respected this under our constitutional tradition until Roe was hoisted upon the people by a majority of the court. Finally, that egregious error has been overturned. And by the way, no one said it yet, but about 63 million American children were aborted since 1973, January 22nd of 1973, when Roe became the law of the land. It's a profound tragedy. It has impacts on all aspects of public policy and everything about our culture and all that we know. I mean, we have an aging population here. We don't have able-bodied workers, enough of them in the economy to support our programs, Social Security and Medicare, for example. They're all scheduled to go bankrupt in less than 10 years, some of them. Why? Because we don't have enough people paying into the system to support those programs. And why is that? Because 63 million of them were aborted. They're not here. I was born in January of 1972, almost exactly 1 year before Roe v. Wade. And it has dawned on me many times that that number, 63 million, represents somewhere between one-half and one-third of my entire generation. So my high school graduating class probably should have been at least a third larger than it was, maybe more. But my colleagues weren't there. My friends weren't there. My classmates weren't there. The ranking member, Mr. Nadler, said just a few moments ago, he gave us a long explanation about how, you know, hey, it's murder to kill a baby, and that's why originally, many years ago, he supported the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, but he does not believe that it's murder to kill that baby if it's 9 inches further up the birth canal. You know, prior to its birth, a late-term abortion, they're okay with that. I mean, almost every Democrat in the House currently voted for those kinds of policies to allow for abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. You have to not let that fact escape you. You have to look at the record of what has been voted on in this House in the last couple of years and recognize that they're on record. So as Mr. Roy, my good friend, said earlier, it is really simple. At the end of the day, we'll haggle about the rules here. We'll haggle about nuances in language in these policies, et cetera. But at the end of the day, there's an inescapable conclusion. One side in this country supports and defends and respects and wants to protect the sanctity of human life, and the other side simply doesn't. And that is something that is hard to get over.
Rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, that we've seen a brilliant system of debate, discussion, passion, compromise, and nomination work just as it is intended to work. And it's the result given us, a true American conservative and Make American Great Again Speaker of the House in the United States of America. All right. Hey, I'm running long because of that video in this segment. I've got to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back. Going to talk more about this, plus take a look at how this possibly will affect what's going on in Israel, how they approach the situation with Iran, and how those tensions are rising. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings here on the set of my show, The Right Side. I want to talk to you about my Determined Patriotism Conference. I say on the show, we meet in determined prayer. We meet in determined patriotism. Determined patriotism is the hard work of restoring our republic to the divine providence of God and the true intent of our founding fathers. We'll learn specific ways by which you can get involved in your local level. Learn about how to do that, to reclaim the republic from this coalition of immorality from the radical liberal left. But Doug, I think that I heard somewhere that November 10th and 11th is opening day for deer season. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that your right to hunt, among many other rights, are at risk? Put your priorities in order. Hunting can wait. Save the Republic. Come out to Kansas City, November 10th and 11th. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us and join myself, General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Tom Renz, Father James Altman, Mel Kay, Ann Vandersteel, Karen Kingston, Dr. Jane Ruby, Mike Brown, the Kansas GOP chairman, some sheriffs, local election integrity expert Thad Snyder, and many, many more. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us. Specific ways by which we can save our republic. Nothing, not even deer season, ladies and gentlemen, is more important than that. Put your priorities in order. Believe it. For the republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Right Side with Doug Billings, where I'm expressing, as I always do, viewpoints from the side of light, logic, truth, and freedom. Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. We need to admit to ourselves that tensions over there in the Middle East and here in America are high. In America, we have the neocon members of the military industrial complex and rhino class who belong to the swamp establishment within the elected class, who are, obviously salivating over the chance to get engaged in yet another war. So many ramifications of what's happening over there as it pertains to America. And I'm just going to say again that it's good that our House of Representatives, by design, has elected an America First, Make America Great Again Speaker of the House who has good temperament and understanding about all of this, because we have got to stop this madness of never-ending wars, becoming involved in them, attempting to solve the problems of every nation and their conflicts on the planet. Folks, the number one priority in America is America. The number one priority in America, and God bless Israel, is not to get the House speakership in line so that we can pass a bipartisan support measure for Israel. The number one issue in America is our border. It's our national security, our defense, our law and order, our economy, everything that Bidenomics has destroyed. Those are our priorities. Everything that this commu-socialist, formerly known as Democrat Party, has cast upon us. We have our own borders to secure. We have terrorists within our country at this very moment who are planning to carry out attacks in various American cities, folks. To deny that or to ignore it is foolish. It's not warmongering. And we have been saying it on this show for about a year. The mainstream media just now catching up. I look at the Fox News feed and CNN and all of those other outlets that we don't really watch anymore, but I do because I've got to do the dirty work for you, and I'm happy to do it, by the way. But those news outlets are just now beginning to wake up to the possibility that they want to put in print and on TV the fact and the truth that terrorists are here, folks. And it's precisely because of what President Obama and Administrator Biden have put in place with regards to the destruction and the elimination of our border. So we have Israel now threatening to wipe Iran and Lebanon off of the face of the earth if they get involved in the conflict that's currently raging between Israel and Hamas. And, you know, we know, folks, that's not a threat when Israel says that. And we look back in time again. How did this all start, folks? Don't forget, President Obama at fault. This current predicament lays at his doorstep. Because building up, bolstering, and enabling Iran in any way invites their tendencies of supporting terrorism to flourish. And to give them opportunities to develop nuclear power. Are you kidding me? He's the one that did it. How can anybody with any ability to think critically and clearly about issues of the day agree that we should give Iran the ability for nuclear power. How could any United States president arrive at that conclusion and that decision? The number one sponsor of terror on this entire planet, Iran. Sure, let's give them nuclear power and the ability to process uranium and plutonium so that they can build a nuclear bomb. And if you think that has not been their intent from the beginning, you are clearly uninformed. The only answer to the question as to why Obama or anyone else would allow that to happen is that they do not hold an America First belief structure. Any American, not to mention any American president who favors such a notion as Iran in that way, is not an American patriot. In fact, I would go so far as to say that people who have considered those people as enemies of America, of peace, law, and order, and our borders, I think there's some common sense to that. Israel has two fronts that they're battling, one at its northern border, one of it at its southern border. So in the south, there's Egypt. Egypt is providing humanitarian aid to all of the people that are caught in the crosshairs in this, Palestinians, for example. Now, it puts Egypt in a position whereby they might have to make a decision about the war and about how they may participate in it if Israel attacks Lebanon and Iran and so forth. So that's the south. In the north, there's Hezbollah in Lebanon, firing rockets almost daily, literally daily, drone attacks and so forth against Israel. So clearly Hezbollah, Lebanon, and Lebanon fighting against Israel along with Hamas. And you have then the neocon rhino establishment in the United States once again coming out of the woodwork to support the war. To support America getting into another war. Take a look at the turtle here, Mitch McConnell, who reminds me of, I mean, a walking corpse at this point, but here you go. Here's Mitch.
It's an axis of evil in the world. China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. And we need to stand up to the axis of evil, not try to do business with them. We see that Iran, the principal sponsor of terrorism, sending drones to the Russians and attacking Hezbollah, in this particular situation, Hamas, attacking the Israelis with drones. So it's all connected. That you can't separate out one part of it and say, oh, we're only going to deal with this. It's all connected. The Iranians are a threat to us as well. And so this is an emergency. It's an emergency that we step up and deal with this axis of evil, China, Russia, Iran, because it's an immediate threat to the United States.
He uses the same rhetoric that Ronald Reagan used back in the day. Reagan was an American president hero who wanted us to avoid unnecessary conflict, period, and to do so by building up our national defense, our military, to be a deterrent against such things. But not Mitch. Mitch wants America to get into it. He wants, along with people like Lindsey Graham and all of the other, Nikki Haley, they want us to become involved in every conflict that presents itself. And ladies and gentlemen, what Mike Johnson represents among the Republican Party now is a no to all of that. Axis of evil, trying to stir up memories of Ronald Reagan amongst those of us old enough to remember it. America is not called to be the world police force. It's not true, and it's not up to the United States to settle other nations' conflicts, just as a matter of course. All right, ladies and gentlemen, up against another break. Please remember the Determined Patriotism Conference coming up in Kansas City, November 10th and 11th. Website, determinedpatriotismconference.us. Get tickets over there. Only a few hundred left. You want to be there. Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Mel Kay, Ann Vandersteel, Tom Renz, many, many other patriots. We're going to be talking about this and how we get involved in our local level. I'll be right back. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings here on the set of my show, The Right Side. I want to talk to you about my Determined Patriotism Conference. I say on the show, we meet in determined prayer. We meet in determined patriotism. Determined patriotism is the hard work of restoring our republic to the divine providence of God and the true intent of our founding fathers. We'll learn specific ways by which you can get involved in your local level. Learn about how to do that, to reclaim the republic from this coalition of immorality from the radical liberal left. But Doug, I think that I heard somewhere that November 10th and 11th is opening day for deer season. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that your right to hunt, among many other rights, are at risk? Put your priorities in order. Hunting can wait. Save the republic. Come out to Kansas City November 10th and 11th. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us and join myself, General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Tom Renz, Father James Altman, Mel Kay, Ann Vandersteel, Karen Kingston, Dr. Jane Ruby, Mike Brown, the Kansas GOP chairman, some sheriffs, local election integrity expert Thad Snyder, and many, many more. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us. Specific ways by which we can save our republic. Nothing, not even deer season, ladies and gentlemen, is more important than that. Put your priorities in order. Believe it. For the republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Hey, Doug Billings here. Are you like me and spending over $100 a month on streaming platforms, streaming services? I mean, you want to watch sports, you want to watch specials on TV, you want to watch movies, you want to have the classic TV channels, you want to have your local channels, you want to watch your favorite sports team, whatever it may be, and you're paying over $100 a month to all these various people. Some of them may only charge you $10 a month, but that's just one. You subscribe to 10 of those and it's a lot of money. It's too much money. I have a patriot company named Q Streaming, Q-C-U-E, Q Streaming, that bundles all of these availabilities, your favorite local channels, all of your local channels, no matter what city you're in, sports, even the pay-per-view sports, so you don't even have to pay the pay-per-view fee, movie channels, like I said, sporting events, specials, it's all right there. I want you to go to therightside.myqstreaming.com. therightside.myqstreaming.com. Q-C-U-E streaming. Q streaming, ladies and gentlemen. $59.99 a month for everything. Your local football, baseball, hockey, basketball, college sports, everything. Bally Sports, the NFL Network, the Major League Networks, all of it. My Q streaming. And the website is The Right Side. myqstreaming.com. Get over there. Save yourself some money. Cancel all those other platforms. MyQ Streaming is a Patriot-owned service. therightside.myqstreaming.com. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, for the Republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Right Side with Doug Billings. You know that I take a lot of delight pointing out the intellectual immaturity of liberals everywhere. We continue to do that every day on the show and thereby making you members of the most intellectually mature audience in all of podcast land. Folks, it is not in America's best interest to continually get involved in these never-ending wars and conflicts that erupt regularly throughout the planet. You can be sure that when you hear, no matter what political party, mind you, these people belong to, whenever you hear the words, it's in our best interest, when describing whether or not we should get involved in another nation's business, that person is either a neocon, a member of the military industrial complex, a rhino, or a member of the swamp establishment. It is not true that we need to get involved. It's misdirection. It's purposeful manipulation of terms and language whereby these people try to convince you that somehow the United States has some sort of moral obligation to get involved in foreign affairs, foreign wars, and other international business. It's not fundamentally true, and it's not fundamentally true to be in our best interests. George Washington said it best. We should be isolationists to the best and most extent possible. To enter into commerce and so forth is one thing, but to be isolationist when it comes to the problems and the conflicts of other nations, there's great wisdom there. Remember the days of George W. Bush? We were told that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to go get the mass destruction, the weapons of mass destruction. Well, folks, it wasn't true then. It never was true now. But we went to war, and we lost thousands of American men and women. And we left that war without properly securing the situation. And so now we have Israel, we have Ukraine, they're at the boiling point. This awakening of the elixir of war that is wafting through the hallways of Washington, D.C., waking up all of the neocons and the members of the military industrial complex, the rhino class, the establishment swamp dwellers, the sweet smell of the elixir of a possible war. People like Nikki Haley. Right. And I'm addressing every one of you out there right now who claim to be a Republican, who claim to be conservative. Nikki Haley is not our friend. She's a neocon, warmongering rhino who can't be supported with anybody who believes that we need to put America first and make America great again. The goals of our border, of our nation, our security, our priorities are achieved only by putting America first and staying out of the never-ending revolving door of wars and conflict throughout the world. Oh, but Doug, America's security depends on us defending Ukraine and defending Israel by engaging in the wars that involve them. Not true, ladies and gentlemen. That is a lie. There is no proof of that being true. It's only rhetoric. Doesn't mean that we don't support Israel, but we don't need to get involved in wars. And as far as Ukraine is concerned, I've said it before, Ukraine is not the good guy over there. How was or is America's national security enhanced by abandoning Afghanistan? Remember when we did that? We went into war there. We abandoned it. We said that we had got to get into it to bolster and better and protect our national security. Okay. Well, how does it bolster our national security when we get out of there? How is America's national security enhanced by going to war with Iraq? There was no security left behind in any of those campaigns. There was no exit plan. In fact, only chaos resulted. We left people behind, our friends, both Americans and Iraqis. And don't forget about the billions upon billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in tier one, top grade American military equipment that was left behind in Afghanistan that is now in the hands of the Taliban. And as a result of that, the Taliban is now better armed than any of our allies in that part of the world. But you've got Nikki Haley, Lindsey Graham, members of the neocon establishment. We got to get involved over there. Abject nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. Hold fast to the belief that you hold these people accountable to getting out and paying attention to America. And that's what you saw play out in the House of Representatives. And Mike Johnson is a leader on our side who is a true conservative. Puts America first, and he wants to make America great again. I'm up against another break. I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me. God bless you. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings here on the set of my show, The Right Side. I want to talk to you about my Determined Patriotism Conference. I say on the show, we meet in determined prayer. We meet in determined patriotism. Determined patriotism is the hard work of restoring our republic to the divine providence of God and the true intent of our founding fathers. We'll learn specific ways by which you can get involved in your local level. Learn about how to do that, to reclaim the republic from this coalition of immorality from the radical liberal left. But Doug, I think that I heard somewhere that November 10th and 11th is opening day for deer season. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that your right to hunt, among many other rights, are at risk? Put your priorities in order. Hunting can wait. Save the republic. Come out to Kansas City November 10th and 11th. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us and join myself, General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Tom Renz, Father James Altman, Mel Kay, Ann Vandersteel, Karen Kingston, Dr. Jane Ruby, Mike Brown, the Kansas GOP chairman, some sheriffs, local election integrity expert Thad Snyder, and many, many more. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us. Specific ways by which we can save our republic. Nothing, not even deer season, ladies and gentlemen, is more important than that. Put your priorities in order. Believe it. For the republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Right Side with Doug Billings, standing shoulder to shoulder with you as I lead you out of the nightmare that the Commune Socialist, formerly known as Democrat Party, has thrust upon us and leading you to a life of wonder, joy, and meaning because of your involvement. That's what's going to bring all of it back for America. And the trend away from liberalism is beginning around the world. Just want you to take comfort in knowing that. We can look specifically to New Zealand, Australia, Germany, and Canada. New Zealand and Australia have gotten rid of their liberal woke leadership, replacing it with conservative leadership. Germany making moves towards that end. And Canada has a candidate up there, Pierre Poilievre, who is absolutely destroying Justin Trudeau in the polls in Canada up in the Great White North. So that is all good news. So the rise of conservatism around the world is happening. It's happening in America, too. And we're going to see evidence of that. Just I know it's difficult to believe, but we have this swelling, this groundswell of conservatism. And we saw a good example of it in the House of Representatives and their selection of Mike Johnson. And we see a stand against the likes of and the politics, platform, and policies of the neocon establishment, like Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, Mitch McConnell, and the rest of the swamp establishment. A stand against them, because those people have no clue about going about the business of America First policies, platforms, and politics. Though they put on a good show, and they'll try to convince us that going to war is in America's best interest. But we need to begin to get people in there that want to stay the hell out of foreign and international situations and escalate out of control to put America and our soldiers at unnecessary risk. So, again, what happens if Israel does attack Iran? Iran is right on cue. I mean, just as you would expect, rattling their sabers, warning Israel that they'd better not attack. And folks, I mean, sabers is probably all about what they have, comparatively speaking, over there in Iran. I mean, I know they have an army. We know that. We know that we don't take them necessarily lightly, but their army is no match for Israel, especially when Israel is backed by the United States. No match at all. What they do is, Iran is good at terror. They're not good at conventional warfare, but they'll come into our country, as they already have, and they'll begin to plan to attack multiple cities within it. The thing that we need to be worried about is other Arab nations and the people within those nations, because if Israel attacks Iran, Israel runs the risk of having many Arab nations against them on multiple fronts. Now, we look at Iran. Iran does not enjoy what I call favored nation status with most of the Arab world, but they do with Lebanon. And if Iran is attacked, Lebanon, along with almost certainly at least a few of the other Arab nations, would go against Israel as well. And don't forget, sitting over in another corner of the world, we have Beijing and we have Moscow. We have North Korea. We have Syria. Because those folks would probably back Iran if they got into it with Israel or the United States. China and Russia have created what they call a never-ending alliance with Iran. And it includes economic partnerships, agricultural partnerships, military, of course, partnerships. And guess which country was among the first to join this never-ending alliance between China and Russia as they began to invite other nations to join? Who was the first? You got it. If you picked Iran, Johnny, give them a prize. Iran was the first one to sign up. And then other nations got involved, and they created what's called BRICS. You've heard of it. BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. Brazil, Russia, China, India, South Africa. And now we have in that group BRICS, we have Saudi Arabia, we have the United Arab Emirates also in there. They want to collectively dominate the world economy by the year 2050, and they currently occupy about 25% of the global economy and upwards of about 48% of the land on this planet. So BRICS is a big deal. Iran part of that. So while we could very likely, ladies and gentlemen, blow, to be quite honest, we could blow Iran back into the Stone Age if we wanted to, but they are friends with nations that we can't take lightly, China and Russia. So the ramifications of all of this are deep. They're complicated. They have international entanglements. And we have to go in an America first gear system here. We have to get into that mode and that mindset. We have to steer clear of politicians who would dare to suggest to us that we ought to automatically engage in every international conflict that presents itself. Because that's what America's moral obligation is. BS, ladies and gentlemen. The only candidate in today's political world who has already proven that he can avoid such conflicts and put America first is President Trump. And you can dislike him and you can tell me that I'm crazy, but you can't deny that that's the truth. Not one conflict. In fact, he avoided many, and most of these countries that we're talking about now, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, the Arab world, they loved the guy. They spoke with him. They engaged with him. The visits, the visit that Trump and the reception he was given in Saudi Arabia, you ought to go back and play it again. You can't deny when strength presents itself with the ability to treat other nations with respect, the ability for America to shine really shines. And that's what the definition of the shining hill on the city on the hill is. The example of a shining city on the hill is not there to present military might and world dominance. That city is a city that helps America become the best and brightest example on that hill so that the rest of the world looks to it and wants to eagerly come in and accept and be part of it and to assimilate into the culture that is America. It doesn't involve tearing down our walls and just letting everybody come in haphazardly, untraceable, unvettable. No, the shining city on the hill is a secure, America-first city, a shining example of what it means to put liberty first and the security and the strength of America above all else with God right there at the top. We have got to resist this neocon, rhino, military-industrial complex. In both parties, this uniparty, Republican and Commune Socialist, formerly known as Democrat, and stand for true America-first traditional values, which will, by the way, give us the ability to negotiate and come to agreement with other people in the traditional Democrat Party. We can come to terms with them. It's the radical left woke mindset that we're up against here and that has been causing all of the pain, the chaos that we've seen since Administrator Biden began to occupy and live within the White House. Stay firm in your belief of America first. Understand that Mike Johnson represents a very good outcome in a process that was designed by the founders, that played itself out perfectly, was not riddled with chaos and embarrassment, but has now yielded for us a true conservative America first, make America great again speaker. And that's exactly how it was intended to be done. Be proud of how the system works. Be proud that what you witnessed was not chaos and embarrassment. It was your voices echoing in the halls of the House of Representatives. Believe it, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. For the Republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings here on the set of my show, The Right Side. I want to talk to you about my Determined Patriotism Conference. I say on the show, we meet in determined prayer. We meet in determined patriotism. Determined patriotism is the hard work of restoring our republic to the divine providence of God and the true intent of our founding fathers. We'll learn specific ways by which you can get involved in your local level. Learn about how to do that, to reclaim the republic from this coalition of immorality from the radical liberal left. But Doug, I think that I heard somewhere that November 10th and 11th is opening day for deer season. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that your right to hunt, among many other rights, are at risk? Put your priorities in order. Hunting can wait. Save the Republic. Come out to Kansas City November 10th and 11th. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us and join myself, General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Tom Renz, Father James Altman, Mel Kay, Ann Vandersteel, Karen Kingston, Dr. Jane Ruby, Mike Brown, the Kansas GOP chairman, some sheriffs, local election integrity expert Thad Snyder, and many, many more. DeterminedPatriotismConference.us. Specific ways by which we can save our republic. Nothing, not even deer season, ladies and gentlemen, is more important than that. Put your priorities in order. Believe it. For the republic. Cheers.
The Right Side with Doug Billings.